Well, today we begin a brand new book of the Bible. We are in the book of Psalms, and we will look at Psalm 1 through Psalm 5. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to our study today and to the entire book of Psalms. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. In other words, God is saying, if you want to be happy, which is what blessing includes, if you want to be happy as a Christian, then make a clean break from sin. Do not listen to what ungodly people tell you to do. Do not try to be like them, and do not hang out with them. That's the negative side. Verse 2 gives us the positive side. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The best way to avoid the misery that comes from being corrupted by the influence of the ungodly is to take in God's word regularly. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The benefits of being in God's word may not show up immediately, but they will be there in their season at the right time. You will be what God wants you to be when he wants you to be it. 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. The ungodly may seem to have it pretty good right now, but it will pass away. It will quickly vanish like dust in the wind. It'll be gone. 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly will not make it through judgment day in one piece. The soul of an unsaved person is a vile thing to God, and he will not allow it to be in the congregation of the righteous. 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God delights in godly people. They shall be rewarded. But the wicked, along with all of their ungodly ways, will come to nothing. They shall perish. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain? In other words, why do you ungodly people waste your time opposing God's ways? You're wasting your time. You are doing a vain thing. You are doing a useless thing. Why? 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. And the anointed of the Lord here refers to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. All who oppose Christ and his church are going to end up ruined. And all the power that the world can muster and all the power that the devil can muster cannot stop it from happening, cannot help them. They're going to be ruined. 3. Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. The evil say, we want to be free from God. We will not let Jesus tell us how to live. Like Pharaoh, they say, I do not know the Lord, and I will not obey God. And they think they're really something. But notice verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Puny, insignificant, impenitent, sinful human trash. God laughs at your boasting. God could have you in the flames of hell before you get your next blasphemous word out if he chose to. 5. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. The ungodly will be terrified in God's fury. They're going to be crushed. And it's not a question of if. It is a question of when. God is patient, but not forever. And on that day they will not talk so big. 6. I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. God says, sinner, there is a king in Jerusalem, and he is my king, and he is my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will stomp out evil, and nothing will stop him from doing it either. Nothing. So give it up. 7. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Begotten does not mean created. God the Father is not saying to the Son, today I have created you, or today you were born. Actually, verse 7 is talking about the resurrection of Christ. He was begotten. He was declared to be the begotten Son of God at his resurrection. That fantastic miracle, in other words, was the Father's way of declaring that Jesus Christ is his Son. Like no other miracle. The Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. 8. The Father says to the Son, ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. It is normal for a king to inherit his kingdom from his Father. And that's the way it is with God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus returns to earth, God the Father will give his Son the entire world to rule over. He will give him his kingdom. 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. First order of business for any new king back in those days was to get rid of all opposition to his rule. And that's what Christ is going to do too. He will not allow his utopian society, he will not allow his new earth to be ruined by corrupt, impenitent sinners. It will not happen. 10. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. In other words, use your heads. Learn your lesson before it's too late. And here it is, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Serve the Lord with fear. In other words, serve God with reverence. Rejoice in how good the Lord is. Enjoy Him, for sure, because He is good to be around. But do not become overly familiar with Him in the sense of forgetting that He is God and that He is holy. 12. Kiss His feet. Other translations say, kiss the Son or pay homage to the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. There is no refuge from the wrath of God outside of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's holy anger will explode someday, and God is saying, welcome Christ into your life as Lord and Savior so that His holy anger does not destroy you. Psalm 3, verse 1, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. David wrote this psalm, and he's feeling like everyone and everything is against him. 2. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. In other words, people were saying of David, he's too far gone for even God to help. His situation is so desperate, not even God can pull him out of it. Boy, is that ever a mistake to think that. Don't ever think that anything is too hard for God to do. Don't ever think that anyone is too evil for God to save either. Do not believe anyone who says your problem is too deeply rooted and too complex for God to fix. It's not true. 3. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. If you belong to Christ, no problem, no situation can get to you until it is filtered through Him. If we remember that, then we will not fall into despair. No matter how lousy our situation will be, we can have peace. David remembered that. which is why he said that God lifted up his head. Even in the midst of trouble, God lifted up his head, kept him from falling into despair. For I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. If you are a Christian, the only thing that will keep God from hearing your prayer is unconfessed sin. He will hear you. He may not give you what you ask for, and there may be many reasons for that, but he will for sure hear you. And that all by itself is worth an awful lot, at least it is to me, just knowing that God hears my prayer. If I know that he hears my prayer, I have peace, that he knows what to do with it. 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. You do not need sleeping pills and tranquilizers if Christ is your Lord and you are trusting in him. You really don't. Try praying. Try singing worship songs to God. Try singing hymns to God, whatever, the next time you cannot sleep. Not in order to fall asleep, but to give God what he deserves. And let sleep be the byproduct if it is his will. 6. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. The odds may be against you, and no one may give you a chance, but none of that matters. If you are in God's will, you will succeed at whatever God wants you to do. 7. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, for thou dost smite all my enemies on the cheek. Thou dost break the teeth of the wicked. You can't lose in the end if you belong to Christ. Even if your enemies should succeed, God will turn it around and use it for your good in the long run. Ultimately, God breaks the teeth of the ungodly, disarms them, destroys them. 8. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. Real help comes from God. And it can seem like you are sinking at times, but God will keep you from going under. He will save you. It'll be okay in the end. Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. Thou hast given me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Now, the psalmist here, David, says, be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Notice how he is not demanding that God hear his prayer. He's just humbly asking for God to hear. Humbly asking for relief from God. We are sinners saved by grace. If God gives us anything, it is due to his kindness. No one has the right to demand anything from God. And of course, 40 years ago, I wouldn't have even had to say that. But with the word of faith, so-called theology, that is spreading so fast out there, with people demanding that God does this and demanding that God does that, that has to be said. That's such a perfect theology for the me first generation of the United States and Western society. Just no wonder it's been accepted and flourishes. Very unbiblical. 2. O men, how long shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? All people fill their lives with something. Everyone chases after the things that they think will satisfy them. People who do not know Christ chase after what it is they chase after, whatever it may be, and whatever it is worthless. Whatever it is, it doesn't satisfy. They seek after lies. It's true. The ungodly try satisfying their thirst by chasing a mirage. No wonder they have to come up with something new all the time to try to you know, give meaning to their life or whatever. 2, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. There it is again. David was confident that God would hear his prayer because he was godly, because he was living for the Lord. I'll say it again, if you don't have unconfessed sin in your life, then remember this. The moment you pray, God hears it. 4, be angry, but sin not. There is something wrong with someone who never gets angry. There is something wrong with a Christian who never gets upset, never gets angry. That's not even biblical. There are a lot of rotten things in this world, a lot of sinful things in this world that should make us angry. They make God angry. Something wrong with a Christian who never gets angry. Just don't let anger turn into sin. In other words, do not let your anger cause you to lash out in an ungodly manner. That's what you got to watch out for. Remember this, an evil act does not justify an evil response. Last part of verse 4, commune with your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Very important to slow down, get quiet, and get alone with God often. 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Righteous living is what is referred to by right sacrifices. It's talking about righteousness. And righteous living is referred to as a sacrifice because it goes against what our sin nature desires. And so, try that. The next time you're tempted to sin, offer that temptation and offer that sin to God instead. Instead of doing it, offer it to Him as a sacrifice of righteousness and abstain from it. 6. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. When things are not going the way you wish they were going, ask God to give you spiritual victory. If He will not give you the thing that you want, at least ask Him for spiritual victory. In other words, ask God to help you rise above whatever it is you do not like. 7, thou hast put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In other words, I have more joy in a regular day with God than an unsaved person has with whatever it is they do for kicks. In fact, it's not even close. 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for thou alone, O Lord, makest me dwell in safety. All the wealth in the world cannot buy you peace, because you are going to die, and you know it. Christ is the only one who can give us the assurance that we are prepared to die. And without that assurance, you can't possibly have peace. With Christ as your Savior, you can go to sleep tonight knowing that if you don't wake up tomorrow, you will be okay. Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my groaning. In other words, please listen, Lord, and unscramble my words. 2. Hearken to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to thee do I pray. And I have said this before, it's worth repeating. Don't worry if you cannot express yourself perfectly to God. Don't worry if you don't have the right words. He hears the voice of our cries, meaning He knows our heart. He knows what we would say if we could say it. God is able to translate our cries, our groans, our moans into prayers because He knows our heart. The important thing is to spend time with God. 3, O Lord, in the morning thou dost hear my voice, In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for thee and watch. See, the important thing is spending time with God. And David says, in the morning you hear my voice, God. There's an example for us to follow. God deserves to be number one. Number one in devotion, and number one in priority each and every day. No Christian has a good reason. I don't care how busy we are. We do not have a good reason to not start each and every day out with God. And if we are so jammed and we have extra things come on us, unexpected things, and we're just super packed for whatever reason in our schedule, there's still time to at least say a short prayer and at least read a couple of verses of the Bible or something. There's just no good reason, no excuse for not starting out each and every day with Almighty God. He deserves that. Someone says, well, I'm not a morning person. You don't have to be a morning person to read a Bible verse or two or to say a prayer. It only makes sense for a Christian to think, I'm not going to start this day out without talking to God about it. 4. For thou art not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not sojourn with thee. Speaking of spending time with God, David says he does not socialize with those who know they have unconfessed sin and still won't confess it. 5. The boastful may not stand before thy eyes. Thou hatest all evildoers. God loves sinners. But did you notice he hates all evildoers? Not just their sin. He hates all evildoers. That may shock some people. God loves sinners in that he died for their sins and would forgive them immediately if they would repent. He loves sinners, but at the same time, God hates sinners who refuse to repent. God's love is seen in his sacrifice. God's love is seen in his self-sacrifice, in the cross. Don't ever doubt God's love for lost sinners. But his hatred is how he feels about them. He has no warm feelings toward impenitent sinners. But he still loves them. Because love has nothing to do with feelings. God loves impenitent sinners. But he does not like them. That may not set well with people. It's the truth. It may be offensive to sinners to hear that, but it's the truth. God does not like you. He loves you. He does not like you. There's nothing in you to like. 6. Thou destroyest those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men. False doctrines can send people to hell. And lies destroy relationships between people. Man, no wonder God hates liars. And no wonder he will destroy liars if they don't repent. Someone says, well, I don't lie, I just bend the truth a little bit. Well, that's deceit, and it's just as bad. Where do people come up with these designations? Well, it was a white lie. It was a little white lie. I even heard a preacher a while back call something a little white lie. There's no such thing. It's either right or wrong. It's either truth or false. It's either sin or it isn't. 7. But I, through the abundance of thy steadfast love, will enter thy house. I will worship toward thy holy temple in the fear of thee. God destroys the wicked who will not repent, including liars in hell. And we Christians deserve the same treatment. It is only by the multitude of God's mercy through Jesus Christ that we are saved. It is only because of the abundance of his steadfast love that we are not going to hell. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before me. In other words, direct me, Lord, in all that I do. Let me do things your way and protect me from my enemies in the process. 9. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their heart is destruction. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Words, evil words, how deadly they are. Some people's words are as deadly as bullets. Worse, more deadly. A slick-talking gossip, a slick-talking slanderer, who comes across as being so sweet and so caring, they can do a lot of damage. And really, there's no way to counter vicious words once they are spoken. The damage is irreversible. Best thing to do when you are slandered with vicious gossip is just to ask God to use that slander, to use that gossip, to bring about good. It's the best thing you can do. 10. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against thee. It is important to remember that when someone sins against you, it is primarily sin against God. A sin may sting you, but God always takes the brunt of any sin's blow. 11. But let all who take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And do thou defend them, that those who love thy name may exalt in thee. This is a great verse. The best thing to do when someone sins against us is to trust that God will use it for good. That is taking refuge in Him. And that He will take care of business regarding the sinner if that person does not repent. If we do that, we will not lose our joy. That is how we take refuge in Him during those types of situations. Verse 12. For thou dost bless the righteous, O Lord. Thou dost cover him with favor as with a shield. God appreciates a righteous person. One who has a real heart for God gets special attention from God and in some form continual blessings from God as well. We're going to stop right there and we will pick up our study in Psalm 6 next time. Until then, so long everyone.